A 92-year-old economist walks into the culture war, and the result is anything but quiet. Thomas Sowell's latest work has ignited fierce debate across the political spectrum, earning praise from tech moguls and intellectuals alike, while drawing sharp criticism from others. What makes this particular intervention so provocative? After decades of scholarship, Sowell presents a systematic challenge to some of our most cherished assumptions about fairness and inequality, armed not with ideology, but with data that refuses to cooperate with our preferred narratives. The question isn't whether you'll agree with every conclusion, it's whether you're willing to examine evidence that might unsettle your convictions. Human history shows no examples of different groups achieving identical outcomes. Professional basketball tilts heavily black. Tennis remains predominantly white. Baseball showcases Hispanic excellence. The NHL boasts more Canadian players than American ones, despite America's population being 8 times larger. These patterns extend beyond sports. Women earn fewer than 30% of engineering degrees, while men earn less than 20% of education degrees. Asian Americans collect more engineering credentials than Black and Hispanic students combined, despite representing a smaller population. The Supreme Court itself, for 8 consecutive years, seated only Catholic and Jewish justices in a predominantly Protestant nation, a demographic disparity more extreme than many used to prove discrimination in hiring. The assumption underlying much social justice thinking, that fairness naturally produces equal representation, collapses under scrutiny. Geographic realities have always created unequal starting points. Coastal regions developed different capabilities than inland areas. Mountain peoples evolved distinct social structures from plains dwellers. Nature has never been egalitarian, and pretending otherwise doesn't make our analysis more useful, it just makes it less accurate. Inequality begins before birth. Maternal nutrition affects IQ scores. Birth order matters. Firstborns show higher average IQs, complete college at rates 20-30% higher, and dominate among corporate leaders and Nobel laureates. The reason? Undivided parental attention during crucial early development. Family structure compounds these differences. Boys raised without fathers comprise 71% of high school dropouts, 85% of incarcerated youth, and 63% of youth suicides. Girls from single-parent homes face teenage pregnancy rates roughly 3 times higher. The language environment creates profound disparities. Children in professional households hear 2,100 words per hour compared to 600 in welfare families, a gap of 32 million words by age 4. Professional parents use more complex vocabulary and offer 6 encouraging comments per discouraging one, while welfare families show a 1-to-2 ratio. Cultural differences in honesty add another layer. Wallet return experiments, 11 of 12 returned in Helsinki versus 1 in Lisbon. UN diplomats' parking violations ranged from 0, Canadian, British, Japanese, to over 15,000 Egyptian. Groups like Marwaris in India or Hasidic Jews conduct million-dollar transactions on verbal agreements alone. These cultural variations create competitive advantages that persist across generations. Discrimination exists, but other factors often prove more powerful. The Black-white income gap has never reached 2-to-1, even during overt discrimination. Chinese, Korean, and Indian Americans earn more than twice the median of Mexican Americans and exceed white incomes. Over 9 million Black Americans earn above the median white income. West Indian and Nigerian immigrants often outperform national averages. Black married couples have maintained poverty rates below 10% since 1994, lower than white female-headed households. In 1930s Chicago, delinquency rates varied from 40% to under 2% across Black neighborhoods, showing local culture mattered enormously. White populations show similar disparities. Predominantly white Appalachian counties have median incomes lower than the national Black average, a pattern persisting over 50 years. By 2008, births to unmarried white women reached nearly 30%, exceeding 1963 Black levels that had alarmed policymakers. This trend accelerated during prosperity, suggesting cultural rather than economic factors. The variation within racial groups often exceeds differences between them, demanding more nuanced analysis than simple discrimination narratives provide. Early 20th century progressives embraced genetic determinism, viewing less successful races as inherently inferior. By century's end, they reverse position, now viewing these same groups as automatic victims of racism. Their conclusions changed, but their certainty remained constant. World War I army tests showed black soldiers scoring lower than whites overall, proclaimed as proof of genetic inferiority. Yet black soldiers from Ohio, Illinois, New York, and Pennsylvania outscored white soldiers from Georgia, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Mississippi, revealing that educational quality, not genetics, explained differences. Columbia professors advocated sterilizing undesirable heredity lines. Harvard economists suggested inferior people should be segregated, shut up in refuges and asylums. History contradicts this. Chinese civilization was more advanced than European 1,000 years ago, positions later reversed without genetic changes. Jews who scored low on 1917 army tests later scored above average as they became more English-speaking. Modern progressives replaced genetic determinism with racial discrimination as their automatic explanation for group differences. Statistical disparities between blacks and whites are attributed to discrimination, while data on Asian Americans is omitted because it challenges preferred conclusions. White employees are often terminated before Asian employees during downturns, and whites are rejected for mortgages more often than Asian Americans, facts rarely mentioned when discussing racial disparities. The certainty remains. Only the villain has changed. Media and academics treat income brackets as fixed castes, claiming the gap between rich and poor has widened. U.S. Treasury data tell a different story. Over 50% of taxpayers in the bottom quintile move higher within 10 years. More than half of all American adults reach the top 10% of income at some point in their lives. A University of Michigan study tracking workers from 1975 to 1991 found that those starting in the bottom 20% experienced larger income increases than higher earners. By 1991, 29% had risen to the top quintile. Only 5% remained at the bottom. Bureau of Labor Statistics data reveals another flaw. In 2019, the top quintile contained 84.9 million people, more than twice the 42.2 million in the bottom quintile. Even the charmed circle of the 1% proves fleeting. IRS data shows that of 4,584 people appearing in the top 400 highest earners between 1992 and 2014, 71% were there just 1 year. The categories remain constant, but the people keep moving. Treating income brackets as permanent castes fundamentally misrepresents economic reality. No individual possesses both the knowledge and power to engineer social justice into reality. The 20th century's totalitarian regimes, killing millions despite sincere idealism, warn against concentrating authority in fallible human hands. Sex education's 1960s rollout illustrates this danger. Advocates claimed urgent crises, yet gonorrhea rates had fallen annually from 1950-1958, syphilis dropped by half, and teen pregnancies declined for over a decade. After implementation, outcomes reversed. Teenage gonorrhea tripled between 1956-1975, and pregnancy rates among females 15 to 19 jumped from 68 per thousand, 1970, to 96 per thousand, 1980. Affirmative action similarly backfired. When California banned it, total minority UC enrollment remained stable, but students redistributed to academically appropriate campuses, resulting in 63% more earning GPAs above 3.5 and over 1,000 additional graduates in 4 years. Good intentions don't guarantee good outcomes. The most dangerous fallacy isn't misunderstanding inequality, it's believing we can engineer it away without measuring whether interventions help or harm.